So it all came to an end on Friday night when Southern lost 61-58 to Northern Iowa. And by it all coming to an end, not only did the season come to an end, but the Barry Hinson era came to an end. And as you heard Jerry Kill say, the way it went down was unexpected.
It was for me, too. I don't think the outcome was surprising, but the method was surprising. It'd be interesting to find out if it surprised Barry Hinson. Because if he was going to do that, he gave little indication during the week that he was going to do that, at least in the conversations that I had with him. I do know that had he lost Friday or Saturday, whatever day Southern lost, if it didn't win the championship, I know he was adamant that he was going to thank the other Missouri Valley Conference schools, the Missouri Valley Conference staff, anybody connected with the Missouri Valley, because he's not joking and he's not overhyping when he says he has had an 18-year love affair with that, or 16-year love affair with that league between Southern and Missouri State. That's not hype. He really believes in it, and he takes it personally when the league succeeds and when the league fails. So it would be expected that he would say goodbye to the league, and even if he didn't know his fate, because it could be his last trip through the Missouri Valley Conference. But when he threw in the clause that it's I'm stepping away, that was a surprise to everybody, to Kill. And I know people are cynical and say, well, no, you couldn't have known. He had to. He did not. And Kill did not know until he went into that locker room. I'm sure they both knew the outcome, but just that it would happen that night, no.
Who should be the next SIU coach? Everybody wants to know what Mike Reese thinks.
There you go. Step right on that red spot there.
Okay, well, if you're not going to name names, at least give us a profile of what kind of person should be.
Yeah, I can't and I shouldn't name names. When I had the job that you guys had, I'd be all over naming names. Just to be brutally honest, and Kill has said, or at least said today, he is not going to talk about names, and he is moving with the speed of sound, especially with the way SIU is concerned. This will be, with save for promoting Matt Painter, save for promoting Chris Lowry, this will be the quickest hire. Heck, it was almost the start of the season by the time they hired Joe Gottfried after Paul Lambert left many, many years ago. I don't know how quickly they hired Jack Hartman. That was before my time. But Southern has been hamstrung many times over the years, and this time it's not, and it's Kill's call. I take him at his word when he talks about fit. I know that's most important to him. He has an amazing, folks, and an amazing instinct. I like what he's done in the two sports that he's hired, volleyball and track. Even soccer, which he attacked like a bulldog, especially since he knows very little about soccer. But the one thing that Kill knows, and this is just the second year he's really been in any sort of athletic administration, the guy has unbelievable contacts, unbelievable resources. I hope sometime, it will sound very, very self-centered, but I hope sometime he starts dropping names when he has to hire a soccer coach who he talks to. And it's not just big names, it's a wealth of names that you would never think that he would have a connection to, nor anybody from Southern would have a connection to. And he's hired on paper some good hires in volleyball, and in soccer and in track. And I would be just shocked if the new basketball coach did not look good on paper too. So we'll see. Fit is hugely important to him, as he has said and will say ad nauseum. And I think that will benefit Southern. And I'm glad to hear him say that that it's a critical hire. It will determine his success as an athletic director. It flat will determine his success as an athletic director, because nothing else will matter. And you know what? Given the state of SIU right now, it may also affect the further course of the university.
Sure.
And so the university got a great bump with the upcoming addition of the nursing school, and it would be another good bump with the addition of a successful basketball coach. Yeah. And I think that's going to be really critical. I don't think it'll be a person that will wow you in the press conference. While the resume will impress you, I don't think the name will bowl you over. I really don't think that. And he gets that from, that's a Bruce Weber line.
Well, I was just saying, is it going to be another one of these, or who the hell is Bruce Weber?
Yeah, he's, Weber likes to say, do you want to win the press conference or do you want to win games, when he starts recommending people for jobs, because he's not recommending flashy people. And so when Kill says that, I think of Weber, and I'm sure Bruce is one of the people that he'll talk to, and as well as Matt Painter, about who would be involved in those sorts of things. But I don't think it'll be an overly flashy coach. Kill has no use for people who are all talk and no action. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he also, so that's why I think that he fits in as quickly as he did in Southern Illinois. And so somebody that's all flash and no substance, I don't think he'll have any use for. And I think he's able to detect that, so that when that person arrives, he's not surprised if that person is all flash.
And don't you agree that we are, as a fan base, as a group, university alumni, in a perfect position with Kill making that choice? Because I don't know if I would, I mean, who else would you trust but Jerry Kill to make this important choice? Because we all trust him.
Yeah, and I think it's such a critical time that somebody who has has the pulse of what he's hiring for, I think should really, really give Saluki fans confidence. And the other thing that should give Saluki fans confidence, while he didn't give a salary figure, he did say we're behaving like a Division I institution, and he has said that for the entire time he's been around. I've seen firsthand when he sees corners being cut or hears of decisions that were made to try to get things done on the cheap, because he knows the outcome. And look, you can know what the perfect fit is, you can know what a good ball coach is, but if you don't have the resources to afford that coach, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. And when Barry Hinson was hired at $330,000, I think, he's not making much more than what he made when he started, and he's a little over $350,000 right now with a $175,000 buyout. He's gone from fifth in the league to ninth in the league in salary. Mm. When he came in, Southern's budget was fifth in the league. It's now ninth in the league.
And so, bear in mind, Creighton and Wichita State have exited the league
out of the
since then.
Yeah, correct. And that's a good point, Paxton. And so Southern has lagged. Southern pays its basketball coach one-third what Loyola and Northern Iowa pay their coaches.
Wow.
And so Saluki fans, savvy as they are, have to understand, I think, that while money doesn't decide everything, it is a major, major influence right now in the pool you pick from. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Southern couldn't afford Bruce Weber right now.
Yeah.
When Bruce Weber was at Purdue. And most Big Ten assistants whom Saluki fans would look at and say, well, that's a natural fit, they should look at them. Those jobs now pay $300,000 to $325,000. Mm-hmm. And Southern's head coach made $350,000. And so Southern has to up the ante. Kill has the confidence of his superiors where he can up the ante, which is what he's saying by we will behave like a Division I institution. And that's what he means. Not that I hear everything, but the numbers I hear behind the scenes, there's reason to think that Southern will be competitive. Otherwise, fellas, it won't matter what you think of Barry Hinson. It won't matter what you think of this person. It won't matter what you think of that person. At 350, there's a certain pool you pick from. Yep. At 500, there's a certain pool you pick from. And the desire to be a head coach and build rebuild a program isn't necessarily as strong as a lot of us fans would hope it would be. Just like it's not the same for players anymore. There's a difference. A Darren Brooks, a Kent Williams back in the day wanted to help rebuild a program. Right. Plus, they didn't have the major college offers, and so that was a blue collar ball first recruit. I'm telling you, if you look at a lot of mid-major teams now, you don't see that many of those players. Those players are on high major rosters as the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th player. So the glamour of the high end affects the players that you get. The salaries that you pay affect the coaches that you get, and I'm including assistants too, because at this level, you got to have at least two that make over $125,000. That's where the business is, and that's the reality. I hope that's where Southern's going, because in the end, that will determine the pool of people that Kill has to pick from, and the coach that SIU's fans think they deserve.
Yeah.
Voice of the Salukis, Mike Reese. Extenuating circumstances say we got to go a little longer than what we normally go.
Gosh, I think
so. This edition of In the Doghouse.
I really don't know how to get this system back into the auto, so let's just keep going until I figure it out.
Can we at least do a legal ID? Can you do that,
gosh,
Mike Murphy?
Most of his IDs have been illegal, Paxton.
I started to say.
Over the years.
One of the revivers. That's what I usually do.
Let me tell you about his one ID in Amarillo one time. Boy, was that. Never mind.
While we're working on that, how about the Bradley Braves? Congratulations to Brian Wardle and the Braves. 5-seed winning the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. Dave Snell's going to go dancing. How about that for the first time since 2006? This was the tournament that someone like Bradley could have won.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, apparently, although I didn't quite agree with you on that at the start, but because I really thought there were only three, Southern, Loyola, and Drake. Now McGlynn got hurt.
That was a wrinkle.
And and then Southern, just for whatever darn reason, reverted. And that, unfortunately, is the mantra of that team. And it just never got momentum within games enough, never got momentum within the season enough, and so it couldn't be one of the three teams I thought that could win it. Even though the league was tight, Paxton, I just really felt only three were good enough to win the tournament. But clearly that was wrong. And hats off to Bradley for doing it. And Dave Snell is the radio broadcaster, and he and I are close friends. I'm glad he gets another crack at it for personal reasons. And I think that's just great. But you know what? Their winning opens the wound of Southern not making it even.
Yeah,
makes that wound even a bigger wound, and requires a bigger Band-Aid.
Would nine more games of Armand Fletcher of any quality, would that have changed the legacy of this team, you think?
I hope so. I can't prove either way. I'm not smart enough to know either way. Southern played pretty well at the start of the year when he got hurt. When he got suspended, they weren't playing all that great when he was playing. And that's why I think they win one of the Buffalo games if he plays. And within the league, and the way they struggled when he came back, I don't think you could, if he came back and they went on a tear, then I could say those six league games, they would have been 4-2. I certainly think that if he plays all of the games, that that Southern gets to gets three more wins. I think that's safe to say. But whether that means a 2-seed, I can't swear to that. I think it could be still a 3, but they may have been alone in third rather than in a tie and have to win it on the tiebreaker.
I really think, too, and I'm just going from listening to you, and I've listened to you for a long time. And, it was amazing because I could tell early in that game Friday night that you were having doubts. Matter of fact, you said it. this isn't the this,
no,
you know,
this
they're
is
not
the
playing.
Same team.
And you could see it. I think people could feel it through the radio, people that were watching, people that were there, and whatever mojo they had, it was gone.
Yeah, I'm not real proud of that. And when people say I can tell in 10 seconds, Reese, whether Southern's winning or losing, They mean it as a compliment. They mean it as a compliment, but I don't take it that way. And it's not their fault. I should
be really
better than that.
I am really in the doghouse.
Yes, yes. But we're not spelling it with an A-W.
You can, but you can either, outwardly or it leaks through.
Yeah, I'm not going to hype it. I'm not going to make the team out.
You can gauge the temperature of the team as often as you've seen them play.
Paxton, I didn't do that at 22. I'm not going to do it at 62. I just I'm not built that way. It's my news background. It's my reporting background. I feel like one of the reasons why we've succeeded with the broadcast, and I include your guys in this, is we've had talented people, and we've told the truth, and I think that that's the case. Say it, but don't belabor it. We tell the truth, but when basketball succeeds, don't make them out to be Duke, and when they fail, don't make them out to be Prairie View or whoever seems to be number 350 that year. Neither is true. But I started to get a bad feeling late in the week that the energy that was there after the Illinois State win was lagging. Maybe it was simply the fact that there were so many days off between Saturday and Friday. It could be. But the reality of this club was and is that that there were just too darn many roller coasters. And and at the start of the game, Northern Iowa was defending differently. And Pippen, they were in Pippen's head because he was standing in Marion and the nearest defender was in Carbondale. And that messes with players' heads. And the first thing he wanted to do was prove they were wrong. And while he hit most of his shots, they were awkward looking. It just wasn't flowing.
Started 4-for-10.
And Southern's guards were not involved. And Southern just looks horrible when those guards aren't involved. Three of them have to be at or near double figures. And it wasn't flowing. Northern Iowa was in their head. And maybe it was simply the pressure of the moment. The pressure was intense on the head coach. The players certainly were not oblivious to it. And then when there wasn't success early, then everything started to roll downhill. And they missed. Now, I will say, when Cook gave him the lead with that basket late, I thought they were going to win. And they didn't. And Northern Iowa made a year out of blowing leads and either reclaiming and winning or as Southern saw, historic loss. I mean, they were behind every game in the tournament, and they made it to the championship game and blew leads in the tournament,
18-point lead. Yes, that's their legacy.
And they got fortunate the first two rounds. And then, Southern didn't make plays at the end of the half and at the end of the game. And that was the mantra of this team, too. That happened way too much to have a successful team. You're probably more than not, you're not going to succeed on a game's final play or a half's final play. But it's got to be in that 55-45 range, not 75-25. Yeah. And that's where Southern tended.
Yeah, or a little bit a little better execution.
Yeah,
The pass in the backcourt that people remember at times. I mean, you've got to at least get a shot.
The club was way too inconsistent, fellas, for a veteran squad. Yeah. I think that was one of the overall things about this club that was very, very frustrating. Things that happen that you would look at and say, well, wait a minute, half your players are 23 years old. That shouldn't happen. And I think that's a legitimate criticism of this club.
I saw you playing Northern Iowa again in the Valley Tournament coming up this Friday night. The Saluki women seeded sixth, and they had to fight to get to sixth. They're playing Northern Iowa up in the Quad Cities coming up this Friday night. And Cindy Stein with a young bunch, sixth seed in this season. Is that about right, or should that be a little
higher? That should have been higher. I think they were picked higher. I think most people, including Coach Stein, thought that they were a better ball club this year, and there are higher expectations for that. So maybe they'll be a tournament team. Drake is not the monster that it's been atop the league, but Missouri State's a heck of a lot better.
Bradley's been incredible under Andrew Gorski. Yeah. The league's back.
Yeah, they have better players, and I think that league has really, really suffered with below Valley level players for too long. Now there are some teams that have bounced back, and you name three of them, they're Paxton. So it seems like there's separation in that league that there hasn't been for a while. Having said that, however, that tournament, as well as the Valley softball tournament, historically has been just rife with upsets. And so for Southern to get hot, to make some shots, it looks like that's a team that really has to score. It's finding a way to get more offense. I think that will be key. And our baseball broadcasts start tomorrow with Austin Peay at 3 o'clock at the Itch. And those broadcasts are all online now. And so you can go to TuneIn Radio. You can go to SIUSalukis.com through the multimedia icon. Just click on that. You can click to the games. And if you go to Itchy Jones Stadium, you'll be able to listen in real time on 98.3 FM, which is a station that we're just starting right now. So 98.3 FM is where you can listen.
FM.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll start with that. We'll start with that tomorrow.
Okay, and
better wear your track shoes. They steal some bases.
Yeah, they do.
45 already.
Yeah, better keep an eye for box and things like that. And I want to say it's a pleasure to be with you guys again, and to Steve Fallett and everybody top down here at River. It was everything that we expected, and everything that we could have hoped for. Your guys' professionalism and the company's professionalism was much, much appreciated. And this show being part of it, and all the other great things that you did, and we appreciate that. And it's too bad basketball didn't live up to the hype, didn't live up to the expectations. And, you know, on a personal note, I really like those guys. There's two all-conference scholar-athlete people on there. Marcus Bartley's a four-point student with an MBA. He's going to do great things in the real world, which in the end is what it's about. Aaron Cook is an excellent...
He's not going into radio.
No. Aaron Cook should go into radio because his voice stretches from the heavens to the earth. And I said that to him the other day. Really? You think I could do that? I said, yeah, I think you could. But I really like the players. And that's a credit to Hinson because he fixed that. Yeah. And it was a mess academically when it started. It was a mess socially when he started. And he got that cleaned up. Not immediately. And we all remember the drama. There's always seemed to be somebody suspended. And that continued into Hinson. Mm-hmm. But he eventually got that fixed. And the players reflect the coach. And these guys are high-level people. And that didn't always help them on the basketball floor, especially in pressure games, because we saw how they played when, you know, with the exception of Loyola at home and that sort of stuff. But I feel bad, especially for them and for the six seniors. That's a burden that they take seriously. I know that just because they're good people and they want to please, mm-hmm. and their head coach wanted to please too. And he is a pleaser, and not pleasing really bothered him because he knows the history of the program too. And so I feel bad about that. Thanks for having me here tonight, he said awkwardly.
Our pleasure. Absolutely.
I don't
Absolutely.
Have a better blend than that, and we're overtime, so I hope nobody gets fired.
Nah, I've been checking my phone. Nobody's texted me yet. We're good.
Whoops, I've got one.
You got one?
No, okay. I'm just too
Okay. No, you are on the board.
Too gullible.
Voice of the Salukis, Mike Reese, thanks again for joining us on our final edition of In the Doghouse for this season. We'll be back coming up here, in August?
What date? Give us the date right now.
I don't have a calendar in front of me. August-ish. I guess we'll...
August 14th.
I'll book it. There you go. August 14th.
It's not a Monday. We'll do it anyway.
Nonetheless.
What are they going to do? We can come in and just take over one click and we're... You know, we can bolt the doors for a while.
You go 12 minutes over, now we can do anything.
You've proven that for the last 15 minutes, yes. You can take it over.
I've seen Steve peek in the door twice.
Big thanks to all of our guests this season on the Doghouse, especially the big dog himself, Saluki Athletic Director Jerry Kill. And, well, by this time next week, we won't have a show, but we may have a new head basketball coach.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
And we hope to bring you... the press conference, the announcement, what have you, here on 103.5 ESPN. So When we know something, you'll know something. That's for sure.
Easy way to say it.
Okay. And thanks to all of our sponsors this season in the Doghouse, our friends at Subway, our friends at American Monument as well, Flooring Now, and Mike Murphy. Finally got a chance to work with you, and it was everything as advertised, and then some. I appreciate your camaraderie and helping me integrate myself into this whole River Radio experience.
No problem. And here it's easy, man. We just go with the flow.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go get us a new coach.
You bet. And as always, go Dogs. This has been In the Doghouse on 103.5 ESPN.
It's March, baby.